8. And we are looking at this picture, a vision of ripe fruit. Verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in the day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, and that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances of by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, excuse me, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned, and by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feast into mourning, and your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We just thank you once again for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the opportunity to open your scriptures. We're looking forward, Father, to learning more about this message, this vision to Amos and what it means. And Father, we know it is judgment. And Father, even in the morning hour, we're preaching about the great white throne judgment. So Father, help us understand that you are a righteous, holy God and a just God. And because of that, every sin must be judged. And sinners must be judged that are not under the blood and have not received salvation and the righteousness of Christ. So, Father, help us today to understand this message, this hour and the morning hour, and to prepare ourselves so that we might not be judged at that final judgment, Father, because we know it's eternal judgment, eternal damnation. So, Father, we pray for the leadership of your Holy Spirit in all things. Thank you for the Sims. We pray for them right now, Lord. Give them good rest and recovery and vision, direction for the week ahead and for the ministry that you've given them. And thank you that things are being restored little by little and that the people are very resilient on these islands. They're used to having storms and facing the power outages and all these difficulties. So, Father, we thank you that you could just give grace to the Sims as well. And thank you for supplying their needs at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we looked at several things in this chapter. Number one, the certainty of judgment. We know God will judge. And that's what the Lord is telling them. We know that God is a God that helps us understand spiritual truths. Just like Jesus' ministry, I think of the parables and just the common stories of life that the Lord, that people understood. And then he taught them spiritual truths from those lessons. Here we have this basket of summer fruit. It's ripe, though, is the idea. Ripe, not for eating, but for judgment. That's what he's speaking of here. And it's a play on words, remember, ripe or summer, and the word end in verse 2, the end has come, is like, it sounds like if you pronounce it in the Hebrew, it'd be just spelled different, but same sounding, sound of word. So the Lord is saying, yeah, you're ripe, your end is here. You know, it's almost the same word. And so, we do know God is a long-suffering God, and I thank the Lord for that. And he has, how long has he dealt with Israel? If you're reading through the Old Testament, just think about, I just finished the book of Judges. It's just amazing. You know, you go through the nation of Israel and all that they did and all that God put up with. It's just amazing. And it came back through over and over again. Especially, it's good to be reading the Psalms with that. I thank the Lord for that. But we do know the character of God, that he is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's patient. And we do know that we do need that. Amen? We do need the God's mercy, because if we got what we deserve, you know, a lot of people speak of justice. We want justice. Well, do you really want justice? Most people would be dead, because he'd take you out there and stone you to death. That's justice. Do you really want justice? I think we better be crying for mercy. Amen. We see the certainty of judgment, verses 1 to 3, the cause of judgment. I just reminded, listening to the testimony of Brother Sims, how most people live in this world. I know it's difficult. Don't get me wrong, in America. And that's what people don't understand. Yeah, our cost of living, or let's say, our status of living is different from many people in the world. You're up here, but everything you pay for is up here too. So it's not like you got all this money and, you know, everything costs more here too. But what I'm getting at is, you know, most people just, like he said, I think the word he said is they live simply, you know, a simple life. And that's how most people have to live around the world. They just can't accumulate. My wife keeps telling me, sorry, dear. We drive around, you know, our neighborhood, yesterday was a day of garage sales. I said, honey, we don't need any of that stuff. I said, we got stuff in here we got to get rid of. I don't want their stuff in my garage. I want to get rid of the stuff in my garage. Well, we want to. But what I'm saying is, there's stuff everywhere, you know. Too much stuff. Yeah. We need storage units, right? But now we need storage units with three floor, you know, high-rise storage units with elevators. I mean, this is getting... That was the thing for us coming here, and, you know, that's new for us to see that. We're like, that's a storage? It looks like an apartment building, you know? Yeah. Well, yeah. I know what hoarding is, yeah. By nature, I'm a hoarder, but... That's why I got stacks of papers and studies everywhere. My wife's like, let's throw these out. No, I'll read it someday. Amen. During the millennium. The people were guilty of this social injustice, and this is where it all, and really, it's kind of deceitful here in America, because that's where they're trying to bring us now, down here, to where we are poor and needy and completely dependent on others, because then it can control you. I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. I think it's reality theory, because it's happening. You know, when you break the back of small businesses is the backbone of America, and they are crippled, if not destroyed, all through this last 2 years. And that's where, you know, that's what they were doing with the poor and needy here. And so it's nothing new under the sun. It's just the same sins, you know, coming round about, just like the book of Judges, that vicious cycle of sin. And that's where we are. And then they were guilty of superficial worship. You know, it's like, oh, we're religious, but you know what, preacher, when are you going to get done? I got things I got to do back home, you know. That's what they were doing, the Sabbath. Why, you know, when's the Sabbath going to be over? I got to get back to work. I got some things to do. Guess you won't be thinking that today, man, or saying that in your, to yourself. We'll clear that up right away. Amen. But that's what it was. It was more of a burden than a blessing. Brethren, worship should be a blessing. The house of God should be a blessing. And it can be a blessing. As long as our hearts are right with the Lord, we should have joy. Even though, I know, well, the Bible tells us, you know, the word of the Lord, it's not going to always bring peace because it's a sword. It's a sword of the Spirit, so it does surgery in our soul, you know, in our minds and our hearts, and it deals with us. And so that's not always a pleasant experience, but don't be confused. That's a good thing, amen? Don't despise the word of God because it hurts. That's what they did. They despised it, you know? They just, it's like, we don't want this anymore. So, then they were guilty of theft. Verse 5. They were falsifying the balances. Falsifying the balances. And that's basically, you know, falsifying the weights and the scales there. What length people will go to, you know, terrible. They were enslaving individuals, buying the poor, buying the needy for a pair of shoes and all this. And then deception, they sold inferior products in order to increase their profits. And that's what God, they were mixing chaff swept up from the floor with the grain. Sounds like hot dogs to me and sausage, amen? Just back east, it's called scrapple. Just everything, all the scraps you can think of the pig, it all rolled up into one. And I eat it. Just fry it really thin, make it crispy. Put some apple butter on it. I didn't have breakfast. I need that. Scrapple and apple butter. If you're out east, go try it, amen? They even serve it in restaurants, so you can go try it. But think about that, you know, that's what they're doing, this wheat, you know, they're the refuse of the wheat, the chaff. Mixing it all together and getting nothing pure anymore. Do we know anything like that, brethren? Last of all today, for this lesson is the consequences of judgment, number 3. The consequences. What's going to happen? We see, beginning in verse 7, the Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. So we could say, letter A, the coming day of judgment is guaranteed. Guaranteed, amen? Why is it guaranteed? Because the Lord hath sworn. The Lord hath sworn. There's no greater oath that could be sworn than the oath of God Himself. And for that reason alone, the judgment of the Lord's day is bound to come. It is a surety, an absolute certainty. Letter B. The day of the Lord will be a day of catastrophic earthquakes. Verse 8. Shall not the land tremble for this? The land's going to tremble. It's going to heave. The word is talking about shaking violently. There'll be unparalleled flooding. It says, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein, and it shall rise up wholly as a flood. So, it's going to rise and cause flooding. The survivors will be paralyzed with fear. They will mourn, they will weep, they will grieve over the disaster and death of many loved ones. Letter C, the day of the Lord will be one of cosmic darkness at midday. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. These are signs that we have studied. Remember the book of Joel and even with the New Testament, putting it all together. So there's going to be a major eclipse, the sun going down at noon, darkening the earth. And this will be an eerie, intense setting and backdrop for the people's utter terror and panic. And then you have a list of verses that clearly show you what's going to happen in that day of panic. Just compare scripture with scripture there. Letter D, the day of the Lord will be a day of unprecedented grief, distress, and mourning, verse 10. And I will turn your feast into mourning and all of your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. So this is, because of all the suffering and the death, people are going to have despair everywhere. There'll be pain and anguish that will cause the deepest misery imaginable, like the misery of losing an only child. That's what it's talking about here. The death of an only son. You know, how does that feel? Well, let me tell you, God knows that, amen? He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. The day of the Lord will be the most horrible and bitter day ever experienced by man. It will bring about the bitter end of the nation of Israel as well as the bitter end of the ungodly nations of the world. So judgment is coming. And then letter E, verses 11 to 13, the day of the Lord will be a day of severe famine. Not a famine of food or water, but a famine of God's word. I think sometimes we take for granted that we have the word of God. I think of churches that have preachers who preach the word of God. You know, that's not a common thing anymore. Seriously. There is somewhat of a famine in our nation, but thankfully it's not like what this is going to be, because people, we know that when judgment comes, in the day of the Lord, then the churches will be closed down that truly preach, because Christians will be gone. People will be looking for the Word of God, but they're not going to find it. That's what it's saying. Think about that. You can't even find it. Now, notice in these verses that the source of this is God. Verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine." You see, the judgment is from God. People will frantically search for the Lord and His Word, and the Lord will no longer answer the prayers of His people, nor allow His Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts. So the Lord, we know the Holy Spirit, we looked at that in the New Testament, will no longer be present here like He is now to guide, protect, and take care of people. They're going to have catastrophes, I'll get that out in a moment, striking the earth, but they won't have an answer. They won't be able to go and get counsel from God's Word anymore. People will beg God to forgive their sins and deliver them from disasters. Even so, they will not find God. Remember, Book of Revelation, they're trying to call the mountains down upon themselves. They want to just die. God won't let them at that moment. Even the young women and men can endure longer. That who can endure longer, as we know, because of age, will faint in their desperate search for the Lord and His help. But neither they nor anyone else will be heard by the Lord. The day of judgment, the terrifying day of the Lord, will continue. See, it says in verse 13, "In that day shall the fair virgins, the young men, faint for thirst." And then, last of all, letter F, the day of the Lord will be a day of ruin or death for all idolaters. That's what this verse is talking about. Remember, all these places, I was just reading about Dan and their idolatry in Dan. That's why it's all mentioned. Samaria, Dan, Beersheba, all these places where the nation fell into idolatry. And that's the picture here. You know, think about this. Every person worships something. What are you worshiping? The Lord? Or some so-called God? You remember what Joshua said when he came to the end of his life? He said that, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then he told them, "Here's your choice." Do you remember that? Some people miss the choice. Try to bring it up here. It says, I'm not going to find it. Can anyone find that verse? "Me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's 24, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. Verse 15 and on. Now, here's the point. Joshua 24:15. I want to give you the context here. He says, verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," see, here's your choice, "choose you this day whom you will serve." Now, if you do not serve God, That word serve also is worship, the idea of worship. If you're not going to worship God, this is your decision. If you're not worshiping God, now here's your choice. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. So you have to choose now. If you're not serving God, here's the gods that you're serving, worshiping. The gods on the other side of the flood. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he's saying, you can't tell me. You know, people, let's just get this straight. You're outside of church. You're outside of the Lord's will. You're serving gods. Amen. You're not serving the Lord. Amen. And your choice are these gods of the world. That's your only choice. You have to make that choice. Amen? And that's what we need to get back to, is making that choice. You either worship God or you worship some other so-called God. That is the truth of the Word of God. We may have an image in our mind. We have an idol. We may have another person. We may have self. We may have the world. We have another religion. And God is teaching us by this chapter. Remember, it's a chapter of judgment. All false religions and false worshipers will fail and will be judged. What a tragedy it is to have plenty of religion, but no word from the Lord. That means no light in the darkness, no nourishment for your soul, no direction for making decisions, no protection from the lies of the devil. The people would stagger like drunks from place to place, always hoping to find food and drink for their bodies and spiritual sustenance for their souls. But nothing's to be found. That's what's happening. That's where we're heading. Isn't it sad that people even just plainly reject the truth today? And they don't know what they're heading for. They have this time you tell people, you know, you urge them when you go and get opportunities to talk to people at the door. We had some good conversation. I think everyone yesterday had some good conversations. It was amazing. Maybe some good fruit will come out of this, but one of the ladies said that she didn't believe in hell. I said, okay, I'm preaching on that tomorrow, by the way, you know. And I said, hell has to exist. And I said, here's why. God is merciful, because she said, you know, hell is now. It's bad now, but it's not going to be like hell. So I told her about the rich man and Lazarus. And by the way, it's not a parable, because Jesus never used a name of a particular person in a parable. That's a real story. That really happened with Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man. He's not named, but it's the rich man. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. So that, but the point is this, when it's all said and done, what about the people, and I'm getting into my message now, I'm not all of it, but what about the people who live on this earth right now, or who have lived, who live a wicked life, reject God, never believe in Jesus, and they die that way? There would be no justice if there's no final judgment on them and a hell for them to suffer for their sins. God wouldn't be holy, righteous, and just. But because he is holy, righteous, and just, now he doesn't want, you know, hell was created for the devil and his angels, but man must go there because of rejecting Christ. I don't know if she understood everything, but she did invite us in to pray, and then she invited us in, and her husband kicked us out before we got to pray. It was interesting, but we did pray with her at the door, and God can speak and help everyone that we spoke to yesterday. But you try to tell them, you know, now's the time. You know, God, this is the day of grace. That's what I was trying to tell her. Yes, now's the time to be saved. Now's the time. God is merciful. God wants to save souls. But that's coming to an end. And I wish you could, I don't know how you can get that across to people. You need to seek the Lord. Amen. You need to get busy. You need to get in church. Most people, they've never even read the Bible. They don't even have Bibles. They don't understand the Word of God. And yet they think they're all right. How does that happen? You have no knowledge of who God is, how He is, what God says. How can you be okay with God? That's what religion does, right? Gives false hope. Brethren, we got a job to do. Judgment is coming. I'm sorry that that's the theme of today. But if you're saved, rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not, tremble. Fear the Lord and get right with Him today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Amos. We know, Lord, him delivering these messages was not easy. Just like it is today. No pastor delights, no true preacher delights in preaching on hell and judgment. But it's Your divine revelation to us, and we must learn from it. We know that Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven in His earthly ministry. So, Father, it's not that we want to dwell on that, but we want people to know there's a judgment they need to avoid. There's a hell to forsake and